Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guest and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you'd like to make during this broadcast, you can feel free to call them in at area code 646-716-4893. Or if you're feeling a little radio shy, you can email me at bonkay@aol.com. That's B-O-N-K-A-Y-E at AOL.com. And before I introduce my co-host for tonight, I just want to make a couple of announcements. My first announcement always now is sending my love and get well wishes to Jen. Our member Jen, one of our straight wives, is going through a lot of physical obstacles. She is my hero. And so, Jen, love is coming to you from all of us in the group. Also, our healing weekend is only a few weeks away. I can't believe it's already going to be April at the end of this week. And our healing weekend will be at the end of April. So if you need information about it, or if you want to going through a tough time and want to meet some wonderful people that will help change your life and give you the support that you need, please write to me at bondk@aol.com and put Healing Weekend in the subject box, and I'll be glad to get back to you. So without further ado, I would like to introduce my wonderful monthly co-host, Dr. Brian Hooper. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Bonnie, it's a pleasure to be with you and the ladies this evening, and any other gentlemen that are listening as well. Happy to be here.
Yes, because we always have men that listen also, and many
yes,
of them,
we do.
Especially when you're on the show, that gain great insight and wisdom as to what the situation really is. And I'd like to wish all of our listeners, for those of you who are celebrating Easter, a happy Easter. I know this is a special day for many of you, a family day for many of you to enjoy your families with. And for my Jewish friends, I would like to wish you this week also was Purim, a Jewish holiday. So happy Purim to those Jewish friends of part of our network. And are you familiar with that holiday, Brian?
I am. The celebration of Queen Esther and going to bat for the Jewish people and thwarting the evil intentions of, I believe it's Mordecai, isn't it?
No, Mordecai was her uncle, and Haman was the bad man.
Haman, right. And we need to make lots of bad noise when Haman's name is made.
Right.
That's right.
And so whenever you hear Haman's name, you take a grogger, like from New Year's Eve, and you spin it around. And that's to wipe out his name so that people won't hear it. So that's a big celebration.
Yeah.
So this is a big celebratory week for people all over the country and the world. So happy holidays to all of those of you who celebrate. And tonight I asked Brian if we could talk about a subject that many of you, you know, the women who are part of our group and some of the men, who, you know, I send my love to also because I know that you also suffer, have to deal with in understanding the whole complexity of the gay husband issue. Because as much as we speak about it, I think there's so many different variances here in understanding this because no two situations are exactly the same. And, you know, over the years, I've identified various different types of gay men that get into marriages. You know, I have different categories for the straight gay men, for the limbo men, for the, you know, gay men who can, you know, become honest with themselves and then move on. You know, there's a great variety of different men and different categories. But I'd like you to get some insight from Brian as to, you know, these different categories. So I'd like to start off by saying, Brian, that I really do believe that almost all of these men go into these marriages with good intentions of trying to be a straight husband. Even if they know they're gay, they're thinking that somewhere along the line that marriage will change them because this is what society's message is. And it's also what religion's message is, that you can change.
It is.
That, right? This is the way people are indoctrinated.
Exactly. And many of them are. Yes, that's right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And even if they have those feelings, they really do fall in love with women to the best of their ability. You know, there could be a deep friendship kind of love. It doesn't necessarily have to be a sexual attraction kind of love, but in some men it really is.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just the overpowering emotion and being young, where your body just gives you messages that, you know, you can have sex, at least in your 20s and, you know, maybe your early 30s, that it's easier for a lot of men in the beginning. And when you're thinking so strongly about, I want to lose these feelings, you can suppress them for a long time, I think for years, really. Not to say they won't pop up every now and then, but you can pop them right back in when you think about what's in front of you. But there comes a time when, you know, most of these men do realize that this isn't working. And I think that's where the problems begin and what happens at that point. So that's when some of the men are able to be honest and they say, you know what, this is not the right life for me and it's not the right life for my wife. You know, it's not fair to her. And a lot of these men do come to me looking for help and guidance. And, of course, you know, I send them your way to get more help and more guidance if I can't help them. But then some of them are just looking for an escape route because they've met somebody. And that's okay, you know, as long as they're doing the right thing. And I tell them, as long as you can be responsible to your family and be honest, you don't have to give details about your relationship, but you can't not tell your wife why the marriage is, you know, not working out. You can't make it like there's any other reason but the true reason because you're gay and not make
up
other excuses.
Exactly. Right.
But then there are men who, you know, play. I've seen a lot of these what I call men who are game players, and they'll stay within the marriage forever, and they have no intentions of ever having to break up their family or tell their wives, but they'll have relationships on the outside with other men, and these are what I call my other men, who in all sincerity go into these relationships, not because they're looking to break up a family, but they meet a guy, they fall for him, he tells them, "You're the best thing that ever happened to me, and, you know, I'm finally able to deal with who I am. I could never do it before, but, you know, you've come to, made me come to terms with myself, and now this is what I want." And they make all kinds of promises, and these guys continue seeing them, not thinking about any kind of damage being done to the family, just justifying it. Well, now this man is now going to be able to come to terms with himself, and he fell in love with me, and he's going to leave his wife. And this can linger on and on and on. And I've worked with a number of these men over the years, and I tell them that there's no way I can tell the difference between someone who's sincere and looking to leave versus someone who's just going to be playing the game. I'm sure you're familiar with those men too, because you've dealt with them, right?
Yes, but the men who want to continue to keep a little something going on the side with somebody else are not the ones who are going to seek me out, because or they won't stay very long. They may come they may come once
they
or twice.
They may seek you out for
Right, but then, you know, they're really sort of looking for a Band-Aid, and they duck back into the marriage, and then they try to continue it as it's always been and say, well, eventually I'll leave. Or sometimes, you know, the attitude is, well, what she doesn't know is not going to hurt me.
Right, exactly. And they think that it's, you know, they make promises to these guys, because I've dealt with, I guess, about 12 of them this year, you know, what I could classify as my other men, who truly fall in love with these guys, and they're under the impression that these guys are going to be, you know, uprooting their lives for them. And I say to them, give them a timeline, tell them that, you know, you say you're going to do it, make a date, and, you know, agree to a date. And as it gets closer, you'll know whether it's going to happen or not, because a lot of times these men will start emotionally pulling away right around that time, or they'll come back and say, well, I really planned to do it. I was going to do it, but it's just such a bad time right now. They'll come up with loads of excuses of why they can't do it now. And then I say to these guys, you better start looking on Craigslist, because you can almost guarantee you that you're going to find your boyfriend on there looking for somebody else very soon. Because as long as he feels that pressure coming for you, thinking that, you know, you're going to leave this marriage, then you're not going to be very appealing to him anymore once you put the pressure on. And a lot of these guys are very hurt. And, you know, they're in the same position we're in a similar kind of way. Not exactly, because we don't know what's going on. At least they kind of know what's going on.
Right.
But, you know, I don't think that they're looking to break up marriages. They just fall in love with these guys who are making all kinds of promises and telling them how they're changing their lives.
And them, right, and they sincerely believe that they've met this man in transition, and indeed he's going to do the right thing and come out to his wife, and, you know, it's going to go on so they can justify hanging in there.
Exactly. They're game players.
And
they just drag them along.
Yeah.
And so finally, these guys, you know, just don't want to be dragged anymore. But it's really hard, you know, to have to face that reality sometimes. Do you have any suggestions for these guys who are in this situation?
So you're talking about the other men.
Right.
Well, I think what you've said about giving them a timeline, that is the married men a timeline, to, you know, have come out by is a good idea. You know, but I guess I would back it up a little even before that and say, you know, they're not available because they're in another relationship. They need to come out of that first. If they really love you and they're people of their word, they will. But I recognize that most folks can't tolerate the anxiety of waiting and just saying that boldly. So at least give them a timeline and say, okay, you know, hand your boyfriend a timeline and say, you're going to do it by this time. Great. I'll be here. But if not, I'm moving on.
Right. Because I think what happens for the men that I've been dealing with in the situation over the last few years, they don't feel any connection to the wife in the beginning because they just don't. the longer they stay in these relationships, they start thinking to themselves, well, you know what, maybe I'm the cause of some of the damage in that relationship. Maybe, you know, I'm creating unhappiness in that relationship. It's not like they went in with bad intentions to, oh, I'm going to hurt his wife. I mean, they really did believe the stories of these men, oh, you made me understand what I am, and now I'm going to come to terms, and now I'm going to leave my family because I know I'm a gay man and I'm proud. You know, and they believe that because some of them had issues coming out themselves. You know, so they feel that it's a reasonable story. But I don't think it's, I think it's just the story in many of these cases.
Right.
These are the men I call the have your cake and eat it too men. Because, you know, they're having a life at home and they're having a life outside their home. And as long as there's no, conflicting there, they'll continue that indefinitely. But once the other man starts putting pressure, like you have to do the right thing, you have to tell your wife, then I feel like that relationship in almost all cases is doomed.
And
that
frankly,
guy might
as well
face it.
It's not that dissimilar from women who are married to straight men who have a mistress on the side and make all sorts of promises to the mistress but never quite pull it off.
Exactly.
Never come clean. Yeah, it's the same dynamic that's happening. And it comes out of a fear of having to confront the truth in themselves and in the family and of losing an awful lot of what, you know, they say they value. And that's part of what they value. It's not only the stability of the home life, but also their positions in community as well, in many cases. They don't want to give that up.
They don't want to give up their straight life.
Right.
You know, they feel that straight's what makes them acceptable. Straight's what makes them, you know, that people can respond to them. That it's not so dramatic or traumatic, that they don't have to explain it to their families and who's going to understand this, and maybe I'll get screwed over by my wife, and, you know, what's she going to do to me? You know, it's like they'll come up with 400 excuses, but they really never intended to leave. They're just looking to have a fling, an affair on the side. And they play these guys.
Yep, exactly.
You know, like I say, they keep saying, oh, you're the one true one who's going to change. I mean, like I say, it's so predictable that whenever they call me, I can always tell them what they're going to be told. And they're going to get hurt.
And the reason that they call you is because they've been hearing this line for a while and nothing's happening. And they're confused. They want to believe it's going to happen, but part of them doubts it, that it's actually going to happen.
Well, the funny thing is, that's not why they're calling me. Maybe that's why they're calling you.
Okay.
For me, they're calling with genuine concern about the wife because the boyfriend's saying he's almost ready to tell her. And inevitably, they're looking for ways that won't be so hurtful, or are there any suggestions I have? Do I have information so that when he tells her, I mean, they really do want to, you know, feel like, you know, they can do something to salvage the situation so the wife isn't totally devastated, and they're going to help their boyfriends do it.
They're doing reconnaissance for their boyfriend and research for
exactly,
him. And then they're
going to
hand it so he
can
get,
not
he can get on
me.
With it. Right.
The husbands aren't calling me, the boyfriends
so,
are calling me.
Right. So he can get on with it and get it done. Interesting. Yeah.
And that's when I get. And that's when I know the difference between those who are going to leave and just those who are going to play the game.
Right.
Because in that case, the husband would
be
calling me, not the boyfriend.
I was going to say, exactly. If they were really serious, they'd be calling you and asking you how to go about it. Exactly. Yep. So I've got a category for you. Would be interesting to hear what you have to say. The married men who get found out by their wives, and they say, "Oh, you know what? We can make this work. It's just that, well, the sex was just not happening and hasn't been for a long time. And let's get into counseling and make this marriage work. Forsake getting involved with any other men." And I'm really not gay, but hey, I had opportunity and I was a little bit curious, so And he was willing to have sex when I was out of town. I would meet up with him. And so I was getting my sexual needs met, but I'm really not gay. So let's go to a marriage counselor and get some help.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
And I'm going to stay in this. I'm going to stay
in
this relationship.
The problem is that these guys aren't honest with the marriage counselors. And usually, more so than not, they'll quit after two sessions or three sessions once the counselor starts, if they have the right counselor who understands this, you know, starts probing and asking the right questions, then usually, you know, the man will say, I'm not going back there. They don't know what they're talking about. You know, they're looking for some kind of confirmation that, and sometimes they are lucky and they get those counselors who truly do believe that, you know, they're not gay. They were just in a bad moment, just having one of those Kinsey experiences that almost all men have, right?
Well,
one of those Kinsey-like experiences.
Yeah, right.
Or maybe they're on step three or two and going backwards or forwards. I never quite understand that. But, yeah, I mean, definitely. And the wife who doesn't want to have to lose her family over something that she's being told isn't really happening will go along with this for a while. But, you know, once the doubt is in there, it's not like it can ever go away. And I think that's the hardest part of all. Even when I was able to deal with the fact that I thought my ex was bisexual, I was willing to settle for that term. How could he be gay? I mean, we had sex, we had children. You know, it's not that he wouldn't, you know, once in a while jump in bed with me after I put a gun to his head. So he could have, you know, performed. You know, it was getting more and more difficult. But the point was that I was willing to settle for bisexual, thinking, do I have two little babies? Do I want to really not have a father for them? And if I don't have to know what he's doing and he's good to us all the time, I can live with this. You know, you play that bargaining game of what can I live with? And we don't understand homosexuality. We do think that maybe it was a one-time thing. Guys are curious. You know, we get all these mixed messages, and especially now. You know, I thought it was bad when I was growing up because you had, like, well, that sexual experimentation. You know, I'm a child of the 60s where people are having orgies and people are just having sex with, you know, groups of people. And so nothing was taboo back then. But then things changed by the 70s, and especially with AIDS in the 80s, you know, more conservative behaviors, you know, came back. But then now I look at, you know, sexual behavior, and now they have brother, you know, whatever they call it, bro sex, or, you know, and best friend sex, or guys, you know, they're calling it all different kinds of things. And I just keep shaking my head and thinking, well, is this acceptable? It's not really gay. It's just, you know, a close friend encounter, or, you know, and you just hear, like, this is the norm as opposed to the abnorm. And it really confuses a lot of people, thinking, well, sexuality is fluid. But I don't believe it is when it comes to men, for almost all of them. I'm not going to say there's not maybe a little tiny percent. But I haven't seen that kind of fluidity that somebody straight is going to go and have, you know, homosexual sex and then go back to being straight and never think about it again or do it again, or maybe once in a while do it. I mean, but how do you feel about that? You would know better than me.
Well, my observation is that people may do a little experimenting, but they're once they've tried the experiment, they're going to go one way or the other. There are those people who are truly bisexual. They can have an erotic and emotional attraction to both sexes. But
indefinitely.
I believe that I don't have enough data points to say that. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that most people are going to go one way or the other. They're going to find themselves primarily attracted towards members of the same sex or members of the opposite sex. You know. So I have a friend who talked about experimenting a bit in college, a friend who was gay but had sex with a woman who approached him, and this, I won't go into the whole story, but and he said, yeah, sex is pretty fluid. I said, so your experience is identical with women as it is with men? I mean, emotional connection. He says, oh, gosh, no. I said, okay, well, maybe not quite as fluid as you think.
I think that when you're younger, it's more you can experiment a little more. I mean, it's not unusual on a college campus, or you see girls now kissing girls, and they have songs by Katy Perry about it. And, you know, I'm not even talking about female sexuality because I don't even know enough about that to say anything. But when it comes to male sexuality, I don't know. Maybe there's some experimentation, but I think overall, you know, experimenting is once. After that, you're not experimenting. If you try it once, then you say, my God, what did I do? But that's something that's like repulsive to me. Maybe I was really drunk and something happened, but I don't want it to ever happen again.
Right. Or simply, you know, that's just not for me, you know.
But I think a lot of times also it's much easier when you're younger to be more fluid, even for men. Like I said, I saw men in their 20s who are able to perform because I think that, you know, just the testosterone level's high and anything that touches you can feel okay. And I've had men tell me that even when they're feeling lack of real sexual action with women, like that they're supposed to, like their wives, that, you know, they can close their eyes and still fantasize that they're with a guy and still perform to a certain point. But as they get older...
My experience so far with all of my clients who have been married and are gay, who identify now as gay, they will say, early on when I was first married, kind of enjoyed sex. It was fun. There was the physical pleasure of it. It wasn't this great passionate experience for me. Most of them have said that. And most of them say, but then when I got to be with a man, I recognized that this is who I really am, this is what I really want, and it's qualitatively different than what it was when I was with a woman and I was first married.
And do you think there are some men, though, who just really just get off on the sexual aspect of it and don't look for any emotional connection?
Well, we know that's true in the gay community. I mean...
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it happens a lot. I mean, there's, you know, there are lots of men who are married to women intentionally block off any emotional connection to the guys that they're having sex with. And that way, they don't feel like they're cheating as much as if they had some sort of emotional connection. So it's just, you know, it is a physical release. But it's a pleasure that they're desiring and experiencing that they're not having with women, that they're not having with their wives.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think, you know, I really do feel bad for a lot of people, but, you know, who are gay and who really struggle with this, because I know for some people it is so difficult, while others will say, well, the coming out experience is the most liberating experience, and no doubt it is. You know, I have certainly gay people in my family. My nephew is very out there and proud, and he leads, you know, LGBT groups. And, you know, he never hid who he was. He always was comfortable with who he was. You know, he's going to be 20. He was just 22. But I'm saying throughout college, high school, he came to terms with himself when he was young. He said, this is who I am. I'm never getting married to a woman. You know, I'm a gay man. And, you know, I embrace myself with that. And I think that's really admirable, and it's very difficult in today's society even, you know, to be so bold and to just say, this is who I am, take it or leave it.
Right.
Of course, a lot of people leave it. They don't care. Mm-hmm. And I think that's good that you can have that kind of confidence in yourself. But then there are other people I know that it's just never going to happen, where it's just such a hardship to have to admit this, that will just do anything they have to not to. And they'll believe it in themselves that I'm not gay. You know, just because I want to have a sexual encounter with a guy doesn't make me gay. Because I don't want to kiss him and I don't want to have an emotional relationship. I just want to get my rocks off or whatever they do. And they say, that does not make you gay. And I've had them tell this to their wives, and the wives don't understand it. So they're thinking, well, maybe they're not gay. And especially when I hate when they tell their wives that if you had been more sexual with me, if you would have been willing to do other things with me, I wouldn't have had to look outside, you know, for men to do it. And I'm doing it with a man because this way it's not cheating on you. This is the story they give them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just dealt with somebody who's, that was his story of recent date. Yep. Exactly.
So that's I don't understand the difference.
And the men that do that are really resistant to conversations that want to explore their sexuality with them and really talk about it and delve into it. They tend to want to run away from therapy rather than hanging in because it's too threatening for them.
And once again, I do understand it to a point because I know it's still hard today to be gay. But I think these guys just don't have a grasp of reality because, for instance, when they'll tell me, well, I've been a very good husband all these years. I've supported my family. I've been there for them. And then I say to them, is your wife happy? Well, we do fight a lot. And I said, what are you fighting over? Well, she picks on little things because, you know, she's depressed or she's unhappy and she blames me. I said, well, is there any, you know, and I try to really break it down step by step. I don't jump it right in their face at the first moment. I said, let's talk about it. And then hopefully I'm able to get them to realize that when you're dealing with somebody who's not emotionally connecting to you or physically connecting to you and doesn't want to be intimate with you, that there's more to being a family than just financial support. You know, they seem to be missing this boat.
Right.
And I'm just not quite sure where the mix-up there is. Like, how do we resolve this with them? Or what would you suggest a wife could say to her husband in a situation like that?
You know, well, if she's able to say, you know, what it is that she has wanted that he has just not been available for, that might help him understand that he's really not available to her. In other words, if she's been looking for tenderness and caressing and emotional support, and it's consistently not been there, then perhaps he can see, you know, what he has left undone.
And I think it's very confusing to the women. And you had mentioned a situation before where women do find out, and yet they're willing to stay. Can you talk a little more about that?
Yes, I'm thinking of some clients I've had in the past where the wife finds out, and she'll say things like, well, you know, just have a little fun on the side. Don't bring it home. I don't want to know about it. That's okay. Or, you know, you could have a partner, but I really don't want to have anything to do with him. We can have a little side life. It's okay. Just don't leave. And, you know, I have one person I have seen in the past that I recall how he wanted to leave, and his wife was using this sort of urging him to stay, and he knew he really wasn't bi. He knew he really was gay. He just didn't have the courage to leave because he was afraid it would just destroy her personally. And I said, well, what's going on now? How is she doing? Well, she's depressed and she's not really happy. And I said, so you're just going to drag this out further rather than being the one who acts courageously and brings the marriage to a close, which is what needs to happen.
I know. I hate it when both partners are so unhappy and yet they don't have the courage to do what needs to get done.
Yeah.
Because this is not what marriage is about. And that's what I always tell my women who come to me. And I say to them, look, you know, my marriage isn't that bad, but I'm just not happy. So I say to them, you're married to a gay man. Your marriage isn't that good, no matter what you want to think. Because a gay man does not belong in a straight marriage. He can't be a straight husband to you. And he can't have that same emotional connection with you. He can love you like a sister, but that's about the most you can expect out of those relationships. You're not going to get the intimacy. You're not going to feel like a woman. You're going to be, you know, almost feel like you're neutered by the time you're done. You lose your sexuality. You lose your feminine spirit because you're not being given any food to feed off it or nurture it with. And I think that's one thing that really bothers me in these marriages.
What I hear is, I love this woman. I married my best friend, okay?
Right,
but
exactly.
But there is no passionate pursuit of her, and she knows that. I mean, she's not blind to that. She can feel that. It's in the air that he does not desire her in a erotic and affectional kind of way. It is much more a desire of one dear friend for another's company, but it's not what she really needs. And thus he recognizes that, and instead of many cases having the courage to tell her, he goes out and has something on the side until she finds out, and then they have to make a decision.
But another thing that really bothers me is when I hear from these men, well, look at straight couples. You know, when you have a straight wife and a straight husband, you know, do you think they're all having sex when they, you know, they're married for 20 years or 25 years or 10 years? How much sex do they have anyway? And that's an explanation that always, you know, that always really upsets me, because maybe they're not having a lot of sex, but guess what? They had a lot. And they build up that intimacy, and they build up that emotional connection. And it's not to say that maybe it's as frequent, but the affection and the love is still there. And you can go through other things, but it doesn't mean that your sex life is going to be the same as it was 20 years ago or 25 years ago. But it doesn't mean that you're going to not have it either. You know, like I say, men themselves, I think it depends on their age, may need some kinds of extra help with that. You know, whether it be the little blue or whatever color pills they take. You know, some men do need that, because that's just a natural course of malehood. It's, you know, it could be those problems, but at least they want to take it. You know, nothing hurts a little bit more when they find Viagra hidden in their husband's, you know, briefcases and stuff, and they know they're certainly not using it for them.
Right, you know.
And, I mean, that happens very frequently where the women will find that and they'll say, well, why did you buy that? Well, I thought maybe it would help us. Well, there's a lot of pills missing and it didn't help them. So these are things that I always tell women have to be clues to you, that if a man is taking, you know, sexual enhancement drugs and it's not to be intimate with you, that he's being intimate with someone. I mean, it's my feeling. Now, you're a man. You know, I'm not talking about gay men. I'm just talking about men in general. I think it's a common thing to think that men want sex.
Yes, of course.
Whether they're straight or whether they're gay, or, you know, I think it's a sexual thing for men. And I tell my women, if they're not having it with you and they haven't had it with you,
they're probably right.
Right?
Right. They're probably having it someplace else.
Exactly. And especially if they never really had it with you to start with.
Right.
So they'll come up with, and they suffer with this for so many years. My husband, I believe he's asexual, because he's telling me he's asexual. Well, if he's asexual, why is he looking at gay porn?
Right.
Why would he need to look at gay porn if he's asexual? Well, you know, he likes things that maybe will arouse him, but he doesn't want to have sex with somebody. I mean, these guys are really good, Bri. They come up with everything to hide what the truth really is.
And it's very confusing to the women, as you said, because they very much want to hold their marriage together, and they're grasping at straws to do that.
Exactly. And that's the problem. They're grasping for straws to stay in a marriage that's so dysfunctional and broken. And I think that a lot of times women are just hoping that things will change, they'll get better, that if they look different, they feel different, they act different, they can make their husbands happier. You know, they internalize the fact that they're responsible for their husband's unhappiness because they don't really know what's going on to start with. And the husband, rather than just being honest and saying, this has nothing to do with you, this is my issue, you know, I'm gay. You know, he can't say those words. So he'd rather let her sit and internalize the unhappiness. And that's what I try to bring to these men's attention. You know, you say that your marriage is okay, but is your wife really happy? I said, do you think your children see the kind of situation in your home that they see on television where people really do look happy and they hug each other and they hold each other and they are affectionate to each other? I said, is that the kind of marriage you're projecting to your children? Because if you're willing to settle for that, that's what their idea of marriage is going to be about. But a lot of times the men don't understand what I'm saying, but the women do. Because they're hurting. You know, the men are hurting that they're living a life that's not theirs, but the women are hurting because they don't know what the problem is to start with. And because the man won't be honest with them. And then even the ones like you say who will say, well, you know, I have these feelings, you know, I'm sorry, but I don't know, I've tried to control it, whatever. But, you know, it doesn't mean I'm going to go and find a man. You know, because the first thing women say, well, do you have a boyfriend? Does it mean you're going to leave me? No, 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 it's nothing like that, nothing like that. I had a brief encounter one time, I was drunk, I was at the bar. You know, they'll say a million things that aren't true, leading that woman to believe, well, it won't happen again, or, you know, I'll just try harder to make him not think about those things. I did that too. You know, I went through that bargaining phase. You know, if I could be a better wife, if I could, like my ex-husband would say to me, well, look how you keep the house, look how you keep the kids. You know, it didn't keep him that bad, but, you know, he was just looking for an excuse because he was unhappy and he couldn't be honest. You know, when you're living in a situation where you're miserable.
There are plenty of straight men who are having sex with wives in houses that are not exactly in pristine condition, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, an unkempt house doesn't necessarily mean a man's not going to desire his wife. Yeah, but it's amazing the excuses, you know.
And in fact, you know, when I first started out, you know, many, many years ago with my newsletters, and back then, I guess it's been almost 16 years now, and I had a gentleman who I became friends with, his name was Jay, and he wrote in one of my newsletters, you know, in the very, very beginning. And his words were just rang so true for me. And, you know, he had said that he was always, you know, so unhappy back then. Let me see if I can find his profound words. I'll read these for you. He wrote to me after, this was in my second newsletter. He first started communicating with me, actually, in February. He said, I'm a gay man who was married for 23 years. My ex-wife and I have two children. I'm writing to encourage you to continue the important work you were doing. I only wish that in 1996, when I finally began to come out, that there had been resources such as yours to support our family through the transition. He said, I think that both men and women in these circumstances must recognize that there are no winners, but there are survivors who create new ways to relate, maintain, support, and redefine their families. In the process of ending my marriage, I lost my best friend and the dream we had of growing old together. Slowly, we have worked to continue to parent our children in accordance with the many values that we continue to share. There are many things I would, in retrospect, have done and handled differently, but my single largest regret is that I did not deal with the secret of my sexuality while still in my marriage and in the years of counseling before divorce. So to those men who you do counsel, I suggest you urge them to give the woman that they chose to love and bear children the earliest chance to deal with the truth. They probably will not have a marriage together, but they will at least have a chance of preserving the love that once brought them together with hopes of plans for a lifetime. So as we continue to talk, one of the things he said, you know, we've had a lot of back and forth conversations. But this is really where, you know, this gave me like a great epiphany. He said, I keep reminding myself of the shame that fueled my own denial and kept me closeted for most of my life. However, I also know the damage that secrets do to those who keep them and would like to teach that lesson to my kids as well. My kids have always been a priority. I can recall vividly my own frustration at seeking advice on how to come out to my kids and finding little support from the gay or straight communities. Of course, I was looking for the right way to do it and assure the kids would not go off the deep end or reject me. No one could have given me a surefire approach. However, I think there is a real void. God knows there are self-help books out there on everything else. No woman deserves to be in this situation. In the past, I spent a lot of time searching my own soul, trying to figure out how much of the failure of my marriage was attributable to homosexuality and how much was the struggle for control, neediness, and other dynamics extend in any couple relationship. My ex-wife and I hurt each other a lot. There are still things about her that I dislike. But I have concluded that the presence of my secret in that relationship was the primary poison. Much of the rest of our conflicts flowed from it. The absence of trust, the neediness, possessiveness, the anger, and ultimately the conflict that I both created, even if it was not by premeditated design, and used to find the impetus, despair, and courage to leave. Accordingly, as painful as it is to admit, I know that the secret and of my homosexuality is inextricably bound up that was wrong in our relationship. Yes, I had difficult issues to confront. As with any person facing difficult times, some of them I handled quite poorly. I could empathize with your own horror and dismay of how you thought and acted at various points. But the thing that he said that really got me was that I was much more demanding about the order around me when I was married to my ex-wife. While I still like a nice home, I feel I am less compulsive about cleaning and demanding that those around me keep things tidy and neat. I believe that my need for external order in my prior life was a way of coping with my internal chaos and tension created by attempts to compartmentalize my being. Of course, my discomfort with disorder at home also served to legitimize my disappointment in my ex-wife as a homemaker. If only she were a better wife, we would be happy with my mantra. Indeed, she had she was disorganized and sloppy, but as it turned out, I have realized that if only she had been a man, I would have been more tolerant. Ouch.
Ouch.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I thought that was a really great insight.
Yes.
Don't you?
Brilliantly written letter. Brilliantly written. Absolutely. You know, and what we do when in the best of all worlds, similar to an affair that takes place between a straight man and a straight woman, where we have to heal the past hurts and then envision a new future. So with the gay man and his straight wife, we have to work on healing the past and planning a new future. This relationship, especially with the children, this relationship is not over, but it can be transformed into something that's going to be best for all parties involved. And staying in a relationship and making it dishonest, as you have indicated and alluded to, not only is destructive for the wife and the husband, it's also destructive for the children because it's in the air. They can sense it. They can smell it. They can feel it. There's just a vibration, if you will, that's negative. And, you know, if they witness a father who's not integrated, it doesn't set a model for how to live an integrated life themselves as kids. So, you know, what I say to these men is, well, you're afraid of destroying the relationship, but you are destroying the relationship even while you're staying in it because of your unavailability and your constant disappointments to your wife, you know. To face the reality and let the whole thing get transformed into a new way of being with yourself and with her and with the kids. And what I found, the men that I work with, when they do come clean, and, you know, tell the wife and they work together to continue to parent the children, everybody does a whole lot better.
I just would like to interject this while we're on this conversation. You know, when I received these letters from Jay, you know, so many years ago, going back to, this was in April of 2001, so that tells you how long ago it was. But this was the great realization I got from his words. And this is, I think, really clarified a lot of my own thinking. And mm-hmm. I wrote about this, and I said, "Who would I be today? Who would we be today if we mm-hmm. had a straight husband? How would our destiny mm-hmm. have changed if we were loved, nurtured, sexually desired with passion and tenderness, given emotional support and encouragement, and made to feel like we were part of a real couple, in tune with each other's needs, wants, and aspirations? What if we didn't have to spend countless hours each day wondering why we were failures as wives, women, and lovers, ripping away our self-esteem layer by layer until we became strangers unto ourselves and others? What if our mm-hmm. husband's dishonesty and cheating didn't change us to become untrusting, suspicious, and doubting wives, forcing us to question our ability to make rational decisions? How many of us were sidetracked through these detours of deceit that diverted us from the direction that our life might have taken otherwise? Bottom mm-hmm. line, no matter how much a gay man loves a straight woman, it is not the kind of love that fulfills the basic human need that all of us have. It can never be mm-hmm. the kind of love that inspires the music that becomes classics or the poetry that makes mm-hmm. the heart flutter. It is not the kind mm-hmm. of love that can ever be returned to the degree that you are giving it. Even the mm-hmm. best of relationships are barely more than great friendships, not the passion and excitement that make us thrive and look forward to waking up each day. And even these right. relationships are woven with dishonesty, distrust, infidelity, resentment, and frustration. Life was never meant to be this complicated.
Right.
Wow, I was really profound back then, I'll tell you.
It's profound today. And it just has so much relevance
even now, right?
Of course, of course. You know, and as we have said, you know, my mantra is, the question is, did you sign up for this? You know, is
exactly.
this what
I
you got married
mantra.
For? You know, you don't have to stay and try to make it work when it's untenable.
I know, people struggle so unnecessarily. You know, life was not meant to be like this. You know, people were not meant to have to suffer.
When I do marriage counseling with straight couples, I'll say, mm-hmm. you know, every once in a while, a vase gets knocked on the floor and it breaks in a couple pieces. And when that happens, you know, we can get the crazy glue and we can put it back together. And even the flaws now in the vase can be a reminder of human growth. And it can be a good thing. You know, the vase can still be usable and you can go on. But sometimes the vase falls to the floor and it breaks in a million little pieces. And the best thing you can do is to sweep up all the shards before people walk over it and bloody their feet, okay?
Uh-huh.
In other words, there comes a time when the most loving thing we can do is to terminate this relationship in its present form, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That means the marriage has to be dissolved
right.
so that people can get on with their lives with integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And
maybe then
okay.
you can salvage
not...
some of that friendship. You know, the
that's
longer
right.
you stay dysfunctional and hurtful, the less chance you're going to have of having that kind of friendship that some people really do have, that people are able
right.
to get past the situation,
right.
and even though they can't be married, they can still be what I call, you know, a functioning family unit where they support each other, they can go to the same events with their children. There are some of our couples in our group, I mean, not many, but, you know, that do this, and they have very happy family lives.
Yep.
And they
now,
celebrate together on holidays, right?
And a word of caution you would give to any men who are listening, and I would give this too, is if that's your attitude, which is a great attitude, we want to encourage that. But if that's your attitude, remember you've warmed up to that over a long period of time. If you just come out to your wife, this is new to her. It's going to take her a while to get used to it, okay? So don't expect you're going to jump into just being great friends overnight, guys, right?
Mm-mm.
It's going
to
take
and
a while.
And I always say, expect it to be the
it.
Worst day of your life. And
when you tell her, yeah.
And some men, you know, it's really funny how some women react, because some women mm-hmm. feel, oh, I feel so sorry for him, and they cry together, and he says, oh, it went so much better. This is the first time we were really able to talk honestly and stuff. And I said, don't lull yourself
uh-huh.
into this, that this is going to stay this way. I said, she hasn't even hit shock yet. She hasn't even hit the shock stage. So forget when she gets to the anger stage. So don't think this is the way it's going to be. In another week or two, it's not going to be so nice. You know, she's just getting a punch in the stomach and just trying to react in a brave way. It is going to be the worst thing that you could ever tell somebody, but guess what? It's the greatest gift. Maybe the hardest news, but it is the greatest gift, rather than her thinking that, you know, she's a failure, that this is her fault. You have to man up and take that responsibility. And I always tell men, if they need that help, you know, you are the best source to help men to get through this, to help women to come with clarity through this. And Dr. Hooper may be far away in Nashville, but he's as close as your telephone. He does telephone counseling, Skype counseling. And for all of those who go to you, you know, who come back and tell me that this has made a difference, and even our women who go to you for help, you know, things come much clearer to them, and they're able to come up with strategies on coping and, you know, doing what they need to survive through these days when, you know, the marriage is going to end or until it ends. So let's get some information on how to reach you, Dr. Brian Hooper.
Okay. Well, they might want to just visit my website, because my phone number's on there as well, and that's www.drbrianhooper.com.
Right, and if you're listening to this broadcast, it's right on the screen where we'll say to reach him, drbrianhooper.com. Or you can always go to gayhusbands.com and look under resources, and Brian's name will be right up there. Excuse me. But it's really important to get the help you need to help you get through this. And that's why for women who are coming to our healing weekend, I'm having all intentions of making our next one in Nashville. So we'll be with Dr. Brian Hooper. The one we're having coming up, I'm so excited because we're going to have some wonderful people coming there. Kathy, who you've met, Kathy Holquin, she's going to be on our show in a couple of weeks.
Love
and also
Kathy.
Janine Finelli, who's our health expert, and Suzette.
Wonderful.
My other co-host once a month, Vernon, who's a life coach. You know, I'm so excited that I'm going to actually, you know, see Suzette for the first time and see Kathy again. These are powerful women who have lived this experience, survived it, and pushed ahead to become successful women. And they're going to help all of our women, you know, have this opportunity to heal and to move ahead. So support is of the utmost value when you're going through this. You know, coming to our healing weekend is a very big start. Going for therapy, Dr. Hooper is available. If you think your husband might really benefit by coming to terms with the situation, Dr. Hooper can help him. So I hope you'll take advantage of that. And we have the most wonderful resources here for so many of us who are going through this trauma. And Brian, I want to thank you once again for being our host, co-host. The last month,
pleasure, Bonnie.
Week of the month is always my favorite week because I know you're going to be with me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I always enjoy it as well.
I can count on you. You're the one constant. Oh, you and my boyfriend. But I can count on him too. But outside of him,
exactly.
I know that you're one man I can count on. And you know that
can.
I love you.
I love you too, my friend.
Send love to all of our ladies. We're running out of time. And we'll be back here next week with our Straight Wives Talk Show with Suzette Vernon. And at the end of the month, we'll talk to Dr. Hooper again. Love to all of you on this holiday. And I love you, Brian.
Love you too. Good night.
Good night.